This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Billionaire conservative activist and philanthropist David Koch has died today at the age of 79. Koch and his 83-year-old brother, Charles Koch, used their fortunes to push for smaller government, and they've long been known to throw their support behind Republican candidates and causes. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders saying he's in favor of criminal charges against oil executives who knowingly caused destruction linked to climate change. The Vermont senator unveiling a $16 trillion plan to deal with climate change and saying that the greed of the fossil fuel industry must end. Oil and Gas Trade Association, the American Petroleum Institute, says in a statement that Sanders' comments are a political stunt to energize his base. This is USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Trump still plans to impose additional tariffs on Chinese goods in September. Now China's striking back as the trade war only escalates. The Chinese government announcing a tariff hike on $75 billion of U.S. goods. However, White House trade advisor Peter Navarro says there's no need to panic.
$75 billion worth of tariffs in terms of the combined $30 trillion economy is not something for the stock market to worry about.
Democratic Representative Seth Moulton is ending his 2020 presidential campaign. He says, quote, this is now a three-way race between Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. A light rail train derails in Sacramento last night. A Sacramento fire official says luckily
no one had any life-threatening injuries and there were no deaths associated with this incident.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
French President Emmanuel Macron says the record-setting fires burning in the Amazon rainforest are an international crisis, and he's calling for members of the G7 to discuss the issue at that summit that does begin tomorrow in the southwest of France. The French leader tweeting that the lungs of our planet are on fire, and he notes the rainforest produces 20% of the planet's oxygen. An investigation's begun after a New York man was fatally crushed in a freak elevator accident yesterday. Authorities say the 30-year-old man was leaving the elevator in his Manhattan apartment building on Thursday morning when it suddenly plunged just as he was halfway in and out of it. It crushed him. Firefighters rescued three people who were then trapped inside the elevator itself and witnessed that tragedy. A dozen major phone companies are making a new pledge to block robocalls, the promised part of a deal with 51 attorneys general, which call for the companies to implement call blocking technology and provide free robocall blocking tools to consumers. Officials estimate there were 4.7 billion robocalls made to American phones just last month alone. And yesterday, President Trump awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to former Boston Celtics superstar Bob Cousy because of his leadership for racial equality. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, how are we doing, America? Good to have you with us 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to be sharing a part of your day with you, always. And we're going to go to Jerusalem now and join Michael Friedson. Michael is a co-founder, executive editor of the Media Line News Agency, and there's lots to catch up on. He is right there in the middle of the Middle East with everything. And good to have you back with us, Michael. How you doing?
Pleasure to hear your voice, Mr. Martinez. Always great to be
here. Yeah, good fun here to get caught up on everything Israel. Before we get into the row of Tlaib and Omar, which is really more than a row, I mean, this is a serious situation. You know, the anti-Semitic statements that have made, the fussing that's going on. Give us a quick update, on the state of Israel right now.
The state of Israel is reeling over what should have been a pretty minor incident. You had a couple of newbies to Congress. Freshmen come all the time, come and go. I joke with some radio that I do in New Hampshire who, the New Hampshire residents think that the road to the White House leads through their state. But I challenge them to come to Jerusalem, and then they'll really see candidates for the presidency because everybody's got to come here. But The two newbies to Congress have touched off a maelstrom that's really unprecedented. In fact, it's Israel's greatest nightmare. Since Israel's founding, the support and the unbelievable relationship between Israel and the United States has been predicated on bipartisanism. Those that are charged with tending to that relationship have always made the equality of both parties just paramount over everything. And the nightmare has always been that that would break. Now, I warned back in 2015 when we saw the very, very bitter debate over the Iranian nuclear deal. The cracks were showing then like they never had before. You could drive a truck through some of the fissures. It was It suddenly became okay to say things that were said sometimes behind closed doors, but not publicly. And there were polls that were suddenly being sponsored and funded that were showing a discrepancy between the support of the Republicans and the Democrats for the state of Israel. Even if that was true before that, and you have to presume it was, it didn't matter. People didn't flash those things around. They weren't.
There was some decorum. Exactly.
Yeah, very much so. Oh. But once the door is open, you can't close it again. And to be able to see the what they're calling euphemistically the progressive wing come in and target Israel as the first order of business. Hey, let's look at how much aid they get. Hey, let's look at this part of the relationship. Well, those things are inimical to the continued relationship, and it scares a lot of Israelis. Plus the fact, you know, Israel's got a pretty raucous democratic political system. And the one thing that the Israeli people have never tolerated from their leadership, you know, they can do things that are professionally questionable, personally untoward, but the Israeli people have never allowed their leadership to mess with the relationship with the United States. That's sacrosanct. And now that's appearing to unravel, and it has a lot of Israelis very, very much unnerved. So things are changing at a pace and a substance that are just unprecedented, and it's an interesting time.
Well, I want to encourage Israelis from a standpoint that, as you say, some things said behind closed doors. The one thing about Donald Trump, what he has done, he has been an agent of exposure, and he's kind of opened this thing up and called it in. I mean, and there's no question, the politics of America has really gone over the top because of, half the country's dislike for this president, and the Democrats have turned it into everything political. The good news is, on the other side of this, Michael, is I believe the relationship with Israel strengthens because we get it out of the shadows. We talk about it. You know, a lot of people didn't even quite understand BDS. I mean, there's, frankly, I was talking with Daniel Greenfield a moment ago from the Shulman Institute, and he said, you know, there are many even American Jews that don't know, they don't even understand the BDS movement. And that kind of shocked me, that there would be that kind of ignorance of this movement that has taken place. Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, their worldviews are obvious, and you would you almost expect it. But what's disappointing is the lack of, objective coverage by the mainstream media. So here we are, not to be surprised once again. It's just the current condition that we're in. But like anything, when you bring the truth to bear, the truth always wins out. And people will, I think that our relationship with Israel will strengthen all the more because of the challenge that comes in like this. And it's all right. You know, let's talk about it and realize, just how important Israel is to America's national security and our relationship on many levels. You know, for many of us, people of faith, we know our relationship with Israel is extremely critical and God-ordained. And there are people of faith that are not going to give up on that. And that's why so many are proud to make the journey to Israel, whenever they can, to, in a sense, go to our own homeland, our adopted homeland, because of the spiritual significance of Israel.
Bill, you bring up a fascinating point. I've been doing a lot of radio talking to people around the country and around the world, and those who have a heart for Israel are frightened by the use of the language and frightened by actually what they're saying is, I support what Netanyahu did. It's certainly the right of any country that's targeted violence to prevent that violence in any way they can, and it's not for us to second guess them. But then the argument goes on. They say, but what I'm concerned about is that we've inadvertently given more exposure to BDS than it ever had. People that never heard of it now have heard of it. And they say it in a way that they fear that. But what you just did very eloquently was turn that around and say, yeah, let's get it out, because when people see how insidious it is and what it really is, that's good for Israel, not bad for Israel.
Exactly. And what Tlaib and Omar have done, I mean, look, they tried to game the system and they got caught. And, this is really an embarrassment upon not only these two individuals, the districts, states that they represent, but also the Democratic Party, because the way this is handled, it's like, okay, we can have a discussion. I mean, this is what our First Amendment right is all about, and you know that as well as anybody else in Israel. I mean, as somebody has said about the varying opinions and discussions that will take place in Israel, I don't know that there's a Jew that's lacking for an opinion. And we love that, So, hey, we have confidence No matter what, Michael, we have confidence in the truth, that the truth always wins out. And Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar have declared themselves, they have self-indicted themselves, because they did have the opportunity to come with the rest of the constituents that were just there, what, a week, 2 weeks ago, and they chose not to. But then they wanted to, you know, come by invitation of a radical Palestinian group. Well, you know the system's being gamed right there. We've got more from Michael Friedson from Jerusalem right here on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with
me. Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
From the creators of War Room.
You need to do your fighting in prayer.
The Kendrick Brothers return to the big screen with Overcomer.
Well, I have a season with one runner.
One runner matters.
John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity in the one who created you, change your whole perspective.
You say I love when I can't feel a thing.
Overcomer. Now playing. Starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and Sherry Rigby. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, visit OvercomerMovie.com.
Is that?
That's Hannah.
Run, Hannah!
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
The country, on your smartphone, and around the world. You've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. That's when we are live. You can go to BillMartinezLive.com and click Listen Live at your convenience. Or, all our interviews and every day show is right there for you to download as a podcast and conveniently listen if you can't pick us up live, so you can stay on top of what's happening. We're visiting with Michael Friedson from Jerusalem right now, and Michael and his wife are the founders of and executive editor of the Media Line News Agency. And Michael, as you and I were talking offline here, you know, you brought up something that is really important, especially in this day and age of fake news and, the propaganda that's being fed, particularly in the American media spectrum. And I get questioned all the time going, you know, Bill, what sources do you use, you know, when you're doing your research? And, and I have come to find certain journalistic outlets that are consistent, they're well-researched, there is, what I believe to be truth that I can check out, but it's not my only, consideration. I do look at others only to get, a little bit of comparison and some sense of balance, even though sometimes that's painful. But in today's age where time is so precious, it is such a precious commodity, people want to know, okay, what do we do? You know, what can I go to get the news and really know that I'm reading something of value? And you and your wife have done something in terms of a theme that I think is very powerful and something we're going to link to as well on our website, is about taking back journalism, because journalism has, particularly here in America, is a lost art. And I feel for, people who have either have spent and invested their lives in journalism or have gone to school for journalism, and then they come out and, just some basic foundational principles of journalism, professional journalism, have been abandoned for the sake of propaganda and agenda fixing.
Well, you said it well. We've been very concerned about this for a long time. We were created in the image of the tenets of classical journalism. And we have a board of professional advisors that includes some great gurus, even of generations past. And we're true to those tenets that are dwindling and are being chiseled away at. For instance, sourcing an article. It's always been basic that there have to be a couple of sources in an article, and you have to let the people know who you're relying on. Why should you pick a person at random? And your most important story of the day, they used to call it above the fold on the front page on the right side.
Right.
That's your key story. Well, now major newspapers will tell you in that first story, only we spoke to five people who claim they have knowledge of this matter, and that's what we're going to tell you about. Well, gee, I'm the reader. Why would I waste my time reading you if all you're going to tell me about your source is that they claim to have knowledge of the matter? And
exactly.
It goes on and on and on. Journalism was created as checks and balance on the government. And it's no less important today than it was when Ben Franklin was doing this. And we created something called Bringing Back Journalism, or Taking Back Journalism. And we start with a tutorial that's on the homepage of our site, which doesn't cost you anything to get to. It's themedialine.org. And in this tutorial, it runs 14 minutes, but it takes you from the creation of journalism to how to read it, what the different terms are, illustrating what the different kinds of articles are. And we feature our managing editor and our bureau chief. And by the way, our managing editor is a foreigner. He comes from Canada. And our bureau chief in the Middle East is a Palestinian. So, we have a real mix of people, but the common denominator is truth. People like to say to us, no such thing as objectivity. And we'll concede that. You can't be objective. What you can be is complete. And if every article that leaves our bureau contains every narrative appropriate to the story, told truthfully, honestly, and trustworthy, that's is the best that a human can do. And that's what we strive to do. So I really encourage everybody to take a look at just scroll down the homepage till you hit this big orange box. It says, Bringing Back Journalism, and I think you're going to like it. And by the way, it's in 10 different languages, so that might help.
Wow. Exactly. Well, an extra bonus there. That's perfect to get the word out. And what I see this doing, Michael, is encouraging other journalists, because when I speak with professional journalists today, they're grieved over their industry, the lack of professionalism, this embrace of casualness, you know, because journalism, as you know and respect, is an art. It's an art form. And when you follow that art form, it serves you well. And more importantly, it's the reason for your existence. I've always maintained that it is there to document history. And that's important when you are documenting. That's to me, is a heavy responsibility, because what are you passing on to the next generation? Are we passing on propaganda? Is there, you know, and I just wonder, you know, in this period of time that we're in, somehow that down the road that people who really will go, you know, kind of in a renaissance and embrace journalism, that they're going to put an asterisk over this era that we've gone through where journalism has been so polluted by anonymous sources and, you know, and discredited sources, kind of like what you referred to earlier.
You know, I've seen polls where in the trustworthy category, journalists rank below politicians. How's that one for you?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that would grieve me as a journalist. And I believe that more and more, but, you know, when there's been so much partisanship, like you say, you know, is there some prejudice? I mean, are you going to bring your worldview into play here? Just like, as you mentioned, and, you know, we've been talking about, Tlaib, especially Rashida Tlaib, with her background, her Palestinian background. Well, you know, if you understand how she was raised and what her worldview is, you know, I can understand, you know, where she's coming from. But I think it's disingenuous for her not to admit that her belief system is consistent with the core of Palestinians today that really want Israel out of the way, and they want to claim everything, that there's no negotiating. It's more than negotiate. What you're negotiating is your demise, not any kind of cohabitation. You know, that has been really clear with the dynamics of you know, what has gone on between Palestine and Israel.
Well, if you watched her press conference, it was very noticeable that, number one, when she protested that she had planned to meet with Israelis, former soldiers, and that she was going to Israel too, her own side of the story basically quashed that. You know, if someone goes to a travel agent because they're taking a trip, there's nothing more basic than the itinerary saying where you're going. That's how the industry works. Why would you give someone an itinerary to someplace other than where they're going? And her itinerary read Palestine with no mention of Israel. And then to say that she was going to Israel, disingenuous right there. And then that trip that she was taking was funded and sponsored and put together by an organization that actually cheers on terrorist attacks against Israelis and Jews.
Well, and I believe that Bibi Netanyahu had every right, as I was sharing with other people, when I went to Israel, Michael, I went through, you know, it was probably 45 minutes, almost an hour, screening just myself. I mean, I'm not a senator, I'm not a congresswoman. And,
yeah, it's real suspicious looking.
You think that's it? I should change.
Yeah,
I should change my look a little bit.
Profile.
Yeah, maybe. I know. Hey, what can I tell you? But you know. But I appreciated the scrutiny and the security and the way Israel approaches this. And you can't blame them when you've got people around the world whose goal in life is to exterminate the country, which we said would never, ever happen again, and we continue. Michael Friedson from Jerusalem, co-founder, executive editor of the Media Line News Agency. Michael, as always, blessings. I appreciate it. Take care. You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Billionaire conservative activist and philanthropist David Koch has died today at the age of 79. Koch and his 83-year-old brother Charles Koch used their fortunes to push for smaller government, and they've long been known to throw their support behind Republican candidates and causes. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders saying he's in favor of criminal charges against oil executives who knowingly caused destruction linked to climate change. The Vermont senator unveiling a $16 trillion plan to deal with climate change and saying that the greed of the fossil fuel industry must end. Oil and Gas Trade Association, the American Petroleum Institute, says in a statement that Sanders' comments are a political stunt to energize his base. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
It's a place you can listen live on Monday through Friday as well, and no matter where you are and at your convenience, download previous interviews, podcasts. Hey, it is our gift to you because we're givers, and it's all right there, as he said, the big boys, at BillMartinezLive.com. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Sally Reed joins us now, author of Night's Bright Darkness, a Modern Conversion Story, and she's written 3 books of poetry. And she's a poet in residence with the Hermitage of the 3 Holy Hierarchs. Lives with her family near Rome. Sally, good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, this is quite an international connection here because I'm in Kauai, Hawaii. You are near Rome. Our studio is in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think we've got the world triangulated here, okay?
We have. Wow.
Is that incredible? I love technology. So how's the weather? How's everything there in Rome where you're at?
Well, can I just complicate matters by saying that I live near Rome, but I'm actually on holiday in Sardinia with my in-laws.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all over the place. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, this is the bonus of culture that you get here. I mean, you know, we were just moments ago, we were just in Jerusalem with our previous guest. So, well, good to have you here because I'm excited to talk about your new book, Annunciation. Give us some background. What inspired you for this book?
Well, as you say, I'm a convert because I wrote my book, Night to Bright Darkness, about that. And my conversion was very dramatic, as people who've read the book will know. I converted in the space of 9 months from atheist to devout Catholic. And my experience was sort of hair-raising and beautiful and absolutely a gift from God, which is amazing. And my little confidant at that time was really mainly my three-year-old. Well, she was four when I was received into the church. My daughter, Flo, and she was always a wise old soul, and she always had lots of questions, and she always had a very good grasp of the faith. I mean, I really think kids understand much more than we give them credit for. So we always would have very deep theological discussions, she and I. And then
amazing, with a four-year-old. I know some people are thinking, "How? What kind of deep theological discussions can you have with a four-year-old?" But like you say, you know, my daughter was the same way. I've got to say, you know, so I understand this. I mean, she just was an old soul from day one. And sometimes I would, you know, when there was some conflict in the household, I'd say, "Hey, what are you seeing here?" And it was amazing, the counsel and her perspective that was quite sobering and insightful.
Yeah, I find the same thing. I really think that they, and I think we do them a disservice if we dull it down in terms of the faith. You know, my daughter's always been thirsty for the truth about Fatima and all that stuff. And, you know, Mary told the truth to those kids. Yeah. Yes. So the night before my daughter's first communion, she was 9 years old, and she suddenly said to me, "I don't know if I can do it. You know, I don't feel anything in prayer. I don't know if I should receive." And I was shocked. And it, you know, in Italy, the first communion is a huge social event. So
oh, sure.
I have to paint the picture. You know, you're talking about maybe 100 guests. I mean, we didn't do this, but this is the norm. You know, 100 guests and an iPhone for the child, and there's lots of gifts and a lot of money. And I think my daughter, she knew about my conversion, and she'd said to me before, "You know, Mum, you know, you run up the aisle to receive communion, but I don't feel that." And then she sort of said that night, she said, "I'm worried that I'm doing it for the party and I'm doing it for the present."
Oh, wow.
And, and at first, I was sort of like, what do I do? but
bless her heart for being so honest.
Exactly.
To be able to say that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Wow.
I realized that, you know, we talked and she did receive communion. And I realized, though, you know, what a gift. Yes, that honesty. And also that interrogation of herself, of the faith, which is what we all should have, you know, I think all the time. Mm-hmm. And she could see straight away the Italian cultural thing where everybody was doing it and not really caring about why or even wondering if they believed. And so I thought to myself, actually, this is really positive. However, you know, my daughter is, gosh, she's, you know, she's half Italian and boy, she's stubborn and passionate and beautiful. And so, you know, we'd have all these fights every Sunday about, "I don't want to go to Mass. You know, Dad doesn't go to Mass. You know, my cousins don't go to Mass." And she'd really pick up. And I thought, I have to write down something for her, a letter to her. And this is how it began, a letter to my daughter about why she... somebody so passionate and someone whose heart is broken so easily and someone who's so over the top with their desires and the way they see life, why she has to hold on to God and the Catholic Church and she has to go to Mass. And that's how the book began.
I see. Well, I've got to tell you, unlike your daughter, my first confession and my first Holy Communion, it was just something that just connected with me so deep. And so spiritually that I, you know, I so cherished. I mean, I really felt a cleansing, especially after my first confession. It was such a cleansing, and I was, how can I hold on to this? I mean, I was desperately wanting to hold on to this idea that I had been forgiven, and that I just didn't want sin to enter into my life. And I remember. You know, even in the, you know, because we had, you know, confession, and it wasn't like immediately went from confession to communion. You had days in between, and I'm going, I don't want to mess this up. You know, I still want to maintain, you know what I mean, some purity for my first Holy Communion.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And after my daughter's first confession, she came out of confession and skipped down the road, and she said, "Do we have to pay for that?" And I said, "No, it's free." She said, "Oh, good, I can do it whenever I want."
Yes, exactly. And as often as you want. And that's, don't you, I just so appreciate, you know, the innocence and the honesty of young people and our children like that. But so for me, Holy Communion has always been a very, very special event, and I'm challenged at times when I'm in attendance with in other churches, you know, outside of the Catholic faith, and their approach to the Eucharist is not as holy, I guess, because and I think what it came down for me to understand is that for us, we believe that Communion is the body and blood of Christ. The actual, it has been transformed. And in other circles, in most Protestant circles, it's a symbol. It's not substance.
Yeah.
And I believe that is the clear differentiation, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we are so blessed. I mean, what a gift. What a gift we have.
Amen. Yeah. So, Annunciation, a call to faith in a broken world, a letter to your daughter. And this has really become a letter to all daughters, and may I say even sons as well, because, you know, what you're dealing with here is what we all deal with. I mean, and for you, making that conversion, you know, you considered yourself to be atheistic, but you still were, in a sense, even as an atheist, that was your form of faith, was it not?
It was, and I think, you know, it sounds really strange, but my form of faith was almost my writing, because I was a poet, and I think I looked to literature to transform my life and to give it beauty and to give it meaning. And to an extent, that was all well and good, but then, of course, you know, the book ends or the piece of music fades and you're left alone. So, yeah, but I was always a seeker. There's no doubt about it. I was always seeking. And I even wrote about the Annunciation before I converted, you know, as an atheist.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is quite
strange. So what did your conversion do for your writing?
Oh, it's been so interesting, actually. I think it's made me much more honest and much less self-conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And
more vulnerable?
More vulnerable, yeah. More vulnerable. But I think people are interested in what I've got to say now much more than they used to be.
Kind of interesting, huh? Well, you bring a dimension. You bring a dimension to your writing that heretofore didn't exist. And it was just something that maybe even subconsciously you avoided, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But now here you are, you're free, and this just has to just give you an incredible sensation and bring that dimension that you always thought was there and could be there, and now you're seeing it. We're going to talk more about Annunciation when we come back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Nearly half of all Americans know someone who's affected by opioids. But according to the U.S. Surgeon General, only about a quarter of those with an opioid addiction get the treatment they need. All too often, it is the stigma and undeserving shame of opioid addiction that forces people to remain silent rather than seek help. In an effort to address the opioid epidemic and combat this stigma, Facebook, in partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction, created Stop Opioid Silence, a national public awareness campaign aimed at inspiring people to break the silence and share their stories with each other, a medical professional, or family and friends. Marsha Lee Taylor is the Executive Vice President of External and Government Relations at Center on Addiction.
Our goal is to help those struggling with opioid addiction understand that they're not alone and that there are ways to find help and support.
Visit StopOpioidSilence.org and click Message for Help.
Are you occasionally stressed, feeling fatigued? It doesn't have to be this way. Support your body's response to all kinds of stress. Promote energy levels and nurture a sense of well-being with Quantum Nutrition Lab's Stress Support, B12, and Adrenal Support. For a limited time, all three are on special. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at QNLabs.com. That's Q
HNLEBS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, and bada-boom, bada-bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Sally Reed is with us, who converted from atheism to Catholicism, as she shared with us earlier, when her daughter Flo was, and her real name, her full name, I found out, Chelia Flo. Don't you love this? I love Italian, because I, you know, I first read it, I said, oh, Celia, and no, she, well, it is Italian, so you have to, okay, all right, so you got to add the romance to the first name. So it's Celia Flo. That's just awesome. Well, Celia Flo was only 4 years old at the time, and it didn't take long for the child to become aware that many friends and relatives didn't share with her mother's newfound faith. I mean, and it's no wonder. I mean, this happens around the world, Sally, where you know, people are, whether you're Muslim and you're converting or whatever faith, and you convert to Catholicism, it's shocking because people, you know, look to you in a certain way, and there is something about Catholicism. When you make that commitment, it is, boy, you talk about putting a line in the sand, and, you know, and I tell people it is such a noticeable conversion, like the blind man that we read about in the Bible, that you become I was atheist, I am now a Catholic, I am a believer in Christ. It is, and sometimes that can be threatening to people, especially family members, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's still tricky. It's still tricky with my family, especially my English family. And I think you're right. There's really, you know, it's such a huge thing. And people are, you know, there's almost this kind of, wow. And they want to know. It's so incredible. They really want to know why.
Yeah, right. And I don't mind that. I don't mind the curiosity. What I do mind is when people get so threatened by it, because, well, that's what happens. Because when you have, you know, the inner peace and the glow of God in you, it's indicting and threatening to people. And you don't have to say anything. You just are. And in the light of being a God carrier, a light carrier, it indicts people.
Yeah, and they can't understand, at least my family can't understand why it would now keep affecting me, why I would still be doing things, why I would still be going to Mass, and I still get, you know, on a Monday, well, why are you going to Mass on a Monday? And, oh, how many times have I explained in the last 10 years? They find it hard to understand why I can't just get over it. It's like they expect me to come out of it.
It's just a phase. It's just a phase she's going through. Right. But, you know, we go back to the basic reaction is that people will do that which they get rewarded for. You appreciate value. Like I was sharing, you know, honestly with you about my experience with the Eucharist. I hunger for the Eucharist. And whenever I come in contact and receive the Eucharist, because I believe, as Jesus said on that night before, you know, he went to suffer for us, you know, when he shared with his disciples and the apostles that night in the upper room and saying, eat this, this is my body, drink this, is my blood. And when he had said that earlier to other disciples, they freaked out. They didn't understand what that meant. And they go, what are we talking about? Cannibalism here? This has gone too far. And they could not handle it. But and even in this modern era, and I would say even some Catholics do not understand when the priest is making that prayer over the bread and the host and the wine, it is at that point, it's a symbol, but then it becomes the substance. And we agree by faith that it is the body and blood of Christ, just as Jesus shared with us. That, to me, is just transcends so much, and you know, just endears me to the, you know, to the celebration and the remembrance all the more. I don't know. Is that similar for you?
Yeah, I mean, I hunger for the Eucharist, absolutely. And you know, we have to remember that it's a miracle. Every Mass is a miracle. And what I say as well to my daughter in the book is, which is what a priest said to me, my spiritual director said to me, is that every Mass is a mystical experience. So we're all, because of Mary's fiat, we're all given this incredible mystical experience in the form of communion. It's so beautiful. It's so sort of every day, the bread and the wine, and yet it's so incredibly charged and supernatural, and it has the power to make us, you know, holy and bring us so close to God. And of course, the Mass is the point where we are, the veil between God and man is rent, and we are, you know, united to heaven, and the angels are present, and the saints. It's just so special.
Mm-hmm. You know what hit me recently, as I was in Mass, I realized, I go, you know, this is happening around the world. We're all doing, you know, Catholics all over the world, different time zones. We're all doing this. We're all praying the Lord's Prayer together. We're all sharing with each other an acknowledgement of God's peace for the other. You know, we are celebrating the Eucharist. I mean, that was profound for me. And I when you talk about the miracle, you know, to me, that's all part of it. That this is something that is happening all over the world every day.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the church. I mean, we focus so much these days on the bad side of the church, but we have to remember that the actual church, the real church, the beauty that is the expression of God and the body of Christ, it's like this incredible, beautiful construction, isn't it? It's so physical. It's like this, you know, like you say, as we're going to bed and saying the evening Mass, and people across the world are getting up and saying the first morning Mass, and it just keeps going, this incredible poetry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, your book, Annunciation, you said you wrote it for Flo. Tell our audience more about this and what you thought were key points that you wanted to deposit into Celia Flo's mind.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, that I basically told her the night before First Communion that she just had to say yes. Which is how I suppose I got the idea of the Annunciation, although I always find these things difficult to say because it felt like a mysterious gift, this book. It just seemed to come kind of all at once. And I took these lines. So the first line from Luke is, "And he came to her." which I just love. I mean, these lines in Scripture that we sometimes just run over, but if we just stop and listen to the poetry there, and he came to her, because it's the angel Gabriel coming to her, but I look at the way that God, because obviously angels are God's messengers, how he can come to us in these amazing ways. So I talk about the Eucharist and things we've discussed, and then about, you know, when we don't feel God's presence and what that it means, and how we can, the Eucharist is our gift in those instances. And then the next line I take is, do not be afraid, which to me is a massive one, because, you know, I suffer from anxiety like many people, and, you know, my daughter's a bit anxious. So the do not be afraid is, of course, what the angel says to Mary. But, you know, it's written in the Bible so many times. I heard it was 365 exactly. times. Do not be afraid. And right. so many mystics have heard that in interior locutions, and St. Faustina heard it from Christ, and Julian of Norwich was told, you know, not to be afraid. So what does that really mean? Because, of course, there's an awful lot to be afraid of. I mean, Christians right. die terrible deaths all the time, and Mary had to go through so much. So it's about God in anxiety, and how God heals us, and how God heals our suffering through the Mass. So that's a pretty intense chapter, and I talk about Chiara Corbella, if your listeners know that famous Italian saint. She's worth looking up, Chiara Corbella, yes. and and many other stories. And
well, do not be afraid. Just a moment before we get into the next one. Do not be afraid. It is the antithesis to faith. And if we're afraid, then it's because we lack faith. And and it's a natural human condition that we live in these days. You know, I'm so glad that you pointed that out. Now let's go to the third one. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord.
It is about, I mean, I think that my daughter's generation, the big question is, who am I? It's all about identity. It's all about publishing yourself and promoting yourself and which group you belong to. And, you know, my daughter is half English and half Italian. And as I say to her, she's wholly Italian and wholly English, like Christ is wholly divine and wholly human. It's one of those.
Right, exactly.
And she's, you know, it's been interesting to see her struggle, in inverted commas, with her identity, and, you know, make fun of the Italian side or make fun of the English side and get very defensive about the two. And you know, sort of, she's always worried about how good she is and why can't she be top of the class and why can't she have her own YouTube channel. So it's all that stuff which we're all so familiar with. But at the end of the day, what I'm looking at is that God, he's perfect unto himself. He needs nothing, but he chooses to need us. So, you know, Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, he chose to need Peter, and he chooses to need our love and our participation in the redemption of the world. So actually, we're incredibly honored because Christ called on us to be his mother and his sisters and his brothers. So it's exactly. about our role with God, which is, I think, phenomenal and so beautiful. And I was trying to remind myself when I pray that I'm loving God and consoling him as I ask him to do for me, you know?
Exactly. Well, we've got less than a minute left here. The next one is, let it be to me according to your word, thy will be done. And of course, the last chapter is, and the angel departed from her. This is really awesome. I mean, what a precious letter and insight, and that how you tapped into the resources of God and got revelation to be able to express this, not only to your daughter, but to the world. I mean, congratulations.
Oh, awesome. I'm just thankful. I just feel very thankful to God that I was, you know, he sort of gave it to me, and I'm just pleased.
Well, the book is Annunciation. It will be linked on our website. Where can the audience go for more information and get their hands on the book as well?
Ignatius.com and also Amazon and Good Catholic Bookshop.
All the usual places. Sally Reed on Bill Martinez Live. Sally, God bless. Thank you so much for being with us.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now.
right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid?